I'm your regular speaker, Gary Colley. It's a delight for me today to come to you by means of this broadcast in order that we may spend some important time with the Word of God. We're hopeful that you'll not only listen yourself, but invite your friends to listen with you. Our question for this week states, please give some help in better understanding the New Testament. Well, we've learned, first of all, that the New Testament is a book of character and structure. We've learned also that faith in God comes by hearing this book, and that that's the only way to please God. We've seen the claims which the book makes for itself is that it is inspired or God-breathed, and that it is infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and all-sufficient, that holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this gives us a very good outset for some help in better understanding the New Testament itself. In Galatians 1 and 11 further, he said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." This again affirms the fact that the New Testament and the Bible itself is not of human origin. That even Paul admitted that though he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a very smart man of the day, and attended the very best schools of the day, that this revelation did not come from that source. No, this revelation was not of human origin at all. Paul says that it did not come from man, but from Christ. Now, the Scriptures claim divine origin. But let's look a little further in order to give some help in better understanding the New Testament. What's the kind of inspiration that characterizes the Bible? Some claim that it is inspired like the works of great writers such as Milton and Shakespeare and so forth. In other words, that they are inspired by their surroundings, or they're inspired by some deeper thought than the average man has. But by inspiration, they simply mean something of superior quality has endured because of the quality of it. That would remove the Bible as a book originating with God. It makes it nothing more than some other book that is highly exalted, if this be the case. Now, this kind of so-called inspiration contradicts what the Bible claims for itself. Others say that the only thought that is inspired is not the words, but just the thoughts that are there. Well, of course, the thoughts are inspired. There's no doubt about that. But how are they inspired? How are the thoughts conveyed except by words? Now, if the words are not inspired, then, of course, the thoughts wouldn't be inspired. But Paul contends that the very words that were preached were inspired. Listen to him as he writes in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. "For what man knoweth the things of a man," he begins in verse 11, "save the spirit of man which is in him? And even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we, the apostles, have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given us of God." Watch this now. "Which things also we, the apostles, speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now that's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 through 14. My friends, man cannot know the mind of God until God reveals his mind to man. Paul said the Holy Spirit revealed God's mind to them and chose the words of that revelation. Well, this demands verbal inspiration. That is, that the very words are inspired. It means the words are chosen by God and brought forth by the Holy Spirit. Some today don't have the proper attitude toward the New Testament simply because they lack the understanding clearly of what inspiration really means. It's a pleasure for us to continue these thoughts with you. We're glad you're with us. We're always happy for the opportunities to study